This is J.B. McConville, a.k.a. J-Business. I don't have any allegiance, I'm just looking for the money. You're listening to the DU Football Show.
You know who's following the money and has all the documents, apparently?
Who's that?
Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. They have all the documents. They're going to go after it. The PGML is going to get us all, and we know that they use the Luton fan. It's a plant. We're all going to die. Let's start the show.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland, bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye, Sam Houston.
Sam Houston?
Arsenal fans have another Sam. Great day, yay, the fucking Gooner Graham. Smell the malort, looks great in shorts. Sam Grammy.
Sam Graham.
Fucking United! Fucking United!
Hello and welcome to the DU Football Show, a completely biased recap of the English Premier League as told by two common American schmucks. I am your host, Sam Houston, and across the way from me, scared of snakes and pissing in drains, my co-host, Mr. Samuel Graham. How you doing, good sir?
Terrified of snakes and pissing in drains, bro. I mean, that's a pretty accurate fucking description.
You know, sometimes you just lay them out nice and simple and I go, yeah, that's just what it is.
Yeah, man.
It's just what it is. How's your day been, my friend?
It's been pretty good. The difference is that when I go outside to piss in the drain, sometimes I get confused that there might be a snake there, but there's not. That's one thing you've never done. It's a small dick joke.
God damn it, I was getting ready to say that. I turned my mic off to say that. You saw it.
Yeah, but if you look up at the top of the stairs, I'll swing down that mushroom stamp and knock your ass the fuck out. That's a big ball joke. We're recording at the DU Public House just outside the nation's capital. You can check us out wherever you get your podcast. And of course, we are streaming live every single Monday night, sometimes a little bit later than usual because, well, the children ain't being cooperative.
Fuck.
Should you want to chat with us, there are as many ways that you can. Mr. Graham, tell the good people how they can get in touch.
Absolutely. It's at DU Football Show on all the social medias and DUFootballShow@gmail.com to get in touch via email. And if you'd like to complain about how late we are, just find Melissa Houston's Facebook page.
And they all have. I think Mel is dying. Chicks can't hold their smoke.
Hey, watch it. You get in trouble with all the people at a certain rye whiskey brand.
DU Football Show private jet. Least Villa didn't fuck something up this week. There's a lot of chats going on.
There's so much going on.
And that could be found in the Drunkard United FC closed Facebook group. Ask to join that because that's where all the hashtag bands are.
That's where the cool kids sewing circle is.
And also on YouTube so they can chat to each other. Eh? Have a big old circle wink.
You're waiting for it, aren't you? Say myself for work in the wine and spirit industry, but have a deep passionate love for all things distilled spirits. So as the red-blooded Americans we are, we vow to have a drink in our hand throughout this show and every single show. You all need to be reminded, I do it when I want to do it, not when you look at me to do it.
Do it.
The list has come to the end.
This is it.
We have completed the Whiskey Advocate Top 20 Whiskeys for the fourth year running. Mr. Graham, what is numero uno?
Numero uno is the Glenglassaugh Sandend. It comes in at 101 proof. It should run you roughly $70 on the shelf. The panel rated it a 95, which, interestingly enough, is tied with at least three other whiskeys in terms of their rating. Your blurb, if you can call it that, it's about six paragraphs long, comes from David Fleming of the Whiskey Advocate Tasting Panel, and this is what he has to say. Our annual top 20 whiskeys list is always filled with A-list names, along with a few lesser knowns that make the grade, but it's unusual for one of the latter to outshine the entire field, yet that is precisely what happened this year, as Whiskey Advocate's panelists plucked a relative unknown from a group of big-name contenders. As we tasted, little did we know there was an upset in the making, winning in a nearly unanimous vote. Single Malt Scotch Glenglassaugh Sandend became our 2023 Whiskey of the Year. Glenglassaugh Distillery is situated on the north coast of Scotland, perched upon high ground overlooking the North Sea, which is where I get a ton of brininess on the nose here.
And seaweed.
The whiskey is often described as a coastal Highland malt, which seems a fair assessment. This non-age statement expression, named for the bay offshore, is bright and delicate with aromas of citrus and minerality, leading to a luscious palate filled with layers of flavors revealing peach, apricot, honey, pound cake, and vanilla, all accented with a touch of sea salt. Rolling spices help create an explosive, long-lasting finish. It's gentle yet complex, but above all, is an easy sipper you can just sit back and enjoy. And at $70, it represents pretty fair value for a single malt scotch. Why is Glengassow so little known? Primarily because it has spent more time being closed than open in its nearly 150-year history. Founded in 1875, it was shuttered in 1907 for 53 years. It then reopened only for brief periods before closing in 1986, this time seemingly for good. But in 2008, Glengassow was purchased by an investor group that restarted production, and it subsequently was acquired by Jack Daniel's owner, Brown-Forman, in 2016. It hadn't been heard from much until recently because stocks needed replenishing, but now Glengassow is ready to roll, and judging by the stellar release, patience is being rewarded in spades.
It's bloody fantastic. Deserves its number one. This is, I think, the best whiskey of the bunch that I've tasted so far.
I mean, you tasted them all.
Yeah.
This is the last one.
Yeah. Sometimes I go, oh, I think there was something else that was a little bit better. I have a couple other that I prefer. This is a stellar whiskey. Now, this is more along the line of what I like out of a single malt. I tend to not like Big Smoke and Big Pete. I'll drink them, but they're not my thing. I tend to like the more delicate, kind of subtle nuances of a Speyside, or in this case, a coastal Highland.
Yep.
I really like that about this whiskey. It's the brininess, it's the sea salt, and that pinch.
If you kind of want something to compare it to, something that's more well known to compare, just that coastal single malt, or Highland malt rather, you're gonna think of stuff like Chivas, Talisker. Mm-hmm. Even though Talisker is made on one of the islands, mm-hmm. It definitely does have that outdoor aging by the sea. Old Pulteney is another one.
Yep, great.
So that's where you get that brininess on the nose.
Scapa as well.
Mm-hmm. That's where you get that seaweed, that brine, and that kind of dominates the nose for me. The flavor, you're absolutely coming in with a lot of citrus fruit right up front.
Mm-hmm.
Stone fruit over the mid palate, I absolutely get. And then it does. It tastes almost like, you know, those, not as intense, excuse me, but you know those dried seaweed paper snack? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like things. Not as intense, but it almost tastes like that, like salted seaweed paper. It's fucking delicious, and it's all over the place. I love it.
Charbilly asks, so like a rock oyster scotch?
Rock oyster would be a good representation.
Yes, similar to 100%. What rock. I know rock oyster well.
Yeah.
It's also lighter in color, so you know that this is American white oak that mm-hmm. they're using, which really it didn't need any old world wine oak to it at all. Yes.
And Ellen Brody wants to know, in 30 seconds, which we know that's not going to happen, other things do. In 30 seconds, how does this year's list compare to last year's?
I was actually going to get that. There's goods and bads to this year's list. The good, I think the quality of this list is better than last year's list. The bad, the price point and availability of this list was absolute bullshit.
Yeah.
It should be full of stuff like this.
Stuff you get your hands on.
This is exactly what it should be full
of. This is the point of the fucking list.
Right.
Is to highlight very good, lesser known things. And maybe one or two that you, like, I wouldn't
this
normally
pick up.
This one
had a ton. Like,
for instance, like, I wouldn't normally pick up a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
So that Jack 10 that was on there, it was allocated. Yes, it was limited production, but you could find it.
You could find it.
So, like, that was welcome because I wouldn't have normally picked up a Jack Daniels mm-hmm. bottle. You like Jack. I don't care for it.
And also, then you look at a couple of the other kind of fun things from last year's list, doing, honestly, lesser expensive whiskeys, having mm-hmm. Jack Bonded on the list and also having the Dewar's 12 on the list.
Yeah.
All very fun. This list.
Yeah, and Doers 12 is a great example as well. A kind of brand that's in decline, really.
Yeah.
In this country, at least, because blended scotches aren't fucking cool for some reason.
Right.
And it, you know, excellent to have the reminder to revisit.
Right, of course.
You know what I mean? And again, I know the Jack 10 was going back a couple of years, but yeah. you brought up last the Bonded. That excellent. Yeah. Again, that's not something I would regularly pick up, even though I saw it. I was like, don't really care.
Right, precisely.
I'm not a Jack Daniels fan, but because it was on the list, and it turned out to be both of those turned out to be fucking excellent.
Yeah,
they were very good, and I would have never tried them had it not been for this list.
Yeah. This year's list, I mean... The Highland Park that was readily available, you could find that. The some harder ones like the Booker's Little Book and the Wild Turkey, I didn't have an issue with those being on the list because, again, you can find them. They're not impossible to find. But having something like the Maker's Mark Cellar, I mean, it was a stellar whiskey. But I think a total of 30 bottles came to the state of Maryland. Yeah. I don't know a single account who had more than 3 bottles of that to them.
Besides that, it came out like June.
Yeah.
What was the one 2 years ago that was a Maker's Mark? Again, it was that weird
the
series.
Cask series, yeah. Yeah.
That was released. The one that was on the list was released in January. No account got more than a 6-pack, and I think there was only 40 or 50 6-packs that came to the state. They were fucking gone by November and December when the list came out.
And we were lucky to get it because Ken happens to be a Makers fan.
Right.
And he always gets whatever the interesting Makers are.
We're really good at coming across stuff. There's going to be a time where we're not going to be able to find it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be that.
At some point.
Because, I mean, there's even ones where they're not in state.
We could probably get a taster, but...
Right,
I mean,
that's what ends up happening.
But that's what happened with that particular Makers. That Makers, he had an extra bottle of and sold us. But this year's Makers is Cellar. We had to get tasters of it. So that's not going to be on offer at the whiskey party, and that's sad.
Ken said he's going to bring the bottle, but...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but it will be honestly, guys, you take a baby pour, and that's all you have, and don't go back to it. You can have it. You can have a sip of it once essentially.
Yep.
Your thoughts, because mine is this year was better quality list. I think this year was better than last year's list, but the price point and the availability of this list left a sour taste in my mouth.
100%. The cheaper end of whiskeys on this list ran $100.
Yeah.
And most of them were a little more than that.
Yeah. This one was 70, which was nice to see.
A lot of that was because we fucking know people.
Yeah. We got a lot of friend prices. That is for damn sure.
Right. So it was.
Definitely pulled off a lot of friend prices.
Yeah.
For those you don't know, Graham's trying to pull a cork out of a bottle right now.
There we go.
Attaboy. Just didn't want it to fizz everywhere. Mm-hmm. Good job. And while you're pouring there, any other questions from the Peanut Gallery concerning the list before we call it a day and get to the games?
No, they're all just commenting about Pappy being a different pay grade and comparing notes about who had Pappy where.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah.
Mediocre whiskey for too much money.
I like Wheaters. I like Wheaters, so I don't mind it, but there is the hype that goes along with it is a lot.
It is not worth the money you're paying for it.
Yeah, because it's being well overmarked from what it really cost.
100%.
All right. Well, then, Mr. Graham, what should we always do?
Always remember to drink responsibly. And cheers, man. That's another list complete.
Yeah, you know, did it again. Again, do not doubt our ability to find things.
Shit. That's right.
Mel, you want to cheers with us over here?
Mel, you want to take the good one and redo that? There we go.
Ooh. The whoa, 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 whoa.
Hit the cut again.
That's better. Yeah, the first one was like we opened the back windows and not the front windows. I hate that. Whoa, 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 whoa. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Gin Bench season coming up next.
Yep. Next week, gin.
Hendrix Grand Cabaret.
Fucking hold on.
I need to sell some.
Thursday, gin. This Thursday, gin.
That's right.
We start at the bottom of the table with head-to-head matches that directly affecting the relegation fight.
Sorry.
But now... there's another club with a chance at safety, too. Brentford 5, Luton 1, Burnley 4, Sheffield 1, Everton 2, Nottingham Forest 0.
Call them by their God-given name, please.
Uh-huh.
Everluton.
Everluton, heard. Bees completely dominate the Hatters. And frankly, they looked better without Ivan Toney.
Yes, they did. I think Ivan Toney, I mean, I'm not criticizing the performances he put in. He did have a few goals, few assists. He was out for a long old time.
Right, of course.
And it was always going to be a bit of a stretch to, you know, find that form that he was in pre-ban right away. But it was Visa and Bueno that got them through that period, really, until the African injuries. Cup of Nations and the injuries. But, I mean, without him in the team on Saturday,
yeah,
you could have called them Miley and Cyrus because they were a two-man wrecking ball. You know what I'm saying? That was, what a performance. I mean, and Bueno looked like fucking Zidane the way he was passing the ball out there.
And he put one off the crossbar and had a couple of, like, he could have forced easily had saves three or four assists as opposed to the two assists, and he could have easily scored three or four goals. He was on fire, absolute fire. Honestly, Luton just looked completely lost. Here was the game. This is the game you're thinking. It's in their building. Their backs are against the wall. They're only a point behind and 2 points behind Forest and Luton, Forest and Everton, respectively. And it's like, here's the chance. And they laid a dud, man. Oh, they really looked bad.
Yeah, they did. It was really coming apart at the seams for them. I mean, it didn't take too terribly long for Brentford to really assert their dominance either. I mean, and Luton were at home, which is the scary part about it, because that's kind of been their saving grace, is their performances at Kenilworth Road.
Yep.
And this to a fellow kind of recent struggler, if you will, in Brentford, you know, kind of being dragged in after that initial, you know, start to the season, after being dragged in to kind of this relegation battle over the last few months, to have this, lay this egg is bad.
Do you think Frank had gotten his boys geared up going, look, we go in, we win this one, we're probably safe.
Yeah, had to have. Absolutely. And then, you know what? Fuck Ivan Toney. Y'all are the ones that are going to be here next year.
Right.
Potentially. You know, I mean, there's you know, talk around in Bueno because somehow he's only 23 or 24. Looks like he's about 37.
He was with the team in the championship, so, like, feels like 8 years ago.
Of course. Yeah. And then you've got, you know, and Johan Wiese, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they are the guys that brought them through this. They got Maupay back, which was one of their Moneyball scheme guys that they sold on for a shit ton of money.
Yep.
They have him back, and he's contributed since coming back, you know, with a fair few goals after scoring, what, 2 in 13 months at Everton or something?
Yeah, that was it. Two at Everton.
Something like that.
Fortunately, it was Brighton that spent all the money on him. We only spent 15, but still 15 more than we should have spent.
Yeah, for sure. But it's you know, for Brentford, I think it's really reassuring that they can put in this kind of performance. Lewis Potter looks like a real player, you know, after coming through the season. It looks like they're gonna, you know, keep rolling.
So after back-to-back 5-1 losses for Luton, is this the death blow, Sam?
I mean, the goal differential being added here does not help, especially as we come on to Burnley here in a minute where they're picking up goals. You know, even if they haven't gotten results necessarily, although I think they are unbeaten in five, they've also scored a fair few goals in those five games. And we've, you know, how many times have we talked about it? That can end up being an extra point at the end of the season when these margins are so fucking tight. There's still a possibility that Arsenal's little six-game run wins them the league on goal difference.
Yeah, it could very well.
You know what I mean? If City draw one game, Arsenal win out, they will be tied on points. And that little 28 goals in six games or whatever it was, that what put us 5, 6, 7 goals ahead,
ends up being what wins you the league.
Exactly.
Absolutely the case.
So it's those fine margins. You know, and that's why that goal difference is so important. That's why you turn the screw. That's why you stick the knife in and just say, you know, sorry. This is a professional fucking thing to do. We need these goals.
Clarets smash the Blades on with 4 different goal scorers.
I mean, this was just absurd. Sheffield United did have the first 2 or 3 chances of the game, though. But as is customary, found themselves behind. And then once that... So... I think, Mel, and back me up on this if you could, please, being a supporter of a team that fucks, right?
Yes.
Sheffield United are the whiskey dick of the Premier League.
Yeah, we agree with that one.
Okay, once you break the seal, once you piss yourself,
right,
it's hard to stop pissing yourself.
True.
Yeah. And then they also can't get it up to fuck.
Right.
So that's, I mean, basically, in my opinion, sums up their season, because that's what fucking happened.
Yeah.
And everybody got in on the act, as you said. I mean, it was, you know, you get a goal. It was Oprah again. You get a goal. You get a goal. You get a goal. And they were scored in all sorts of different manners. I mean, it was to the point where Mertz tried to fuck up and then saved it himself just to have something to do.
Blades could be relegated by the end of the weekend, it looks like.
Good. We could not talk about them for the next 2 weeks and save ourselves some time.
Here's the funny thing with Burnley. They now find themselves 3 points from safety, right? They're back in it. And they've had a good run of games. The problem is of that six games that you look at, the only one that stands out is the fucking dud against Everton.
Yep.
Like, that's the one where you go, come on, guys, that's the one. You win that one, you're out of fucking trouble right now, probably.
Yeah.
You're flat out of trouble.
Well, I mean, you still would have been very thick in it, but yes, they would have been probably out of the zone.
Yeah.
At that particular
and
time.
And Forrest would have been in. And Forrest would have definitely have been in. Oh, well,
especially after this weekend.
No shit. Do we think that Burnley has a legitimate chance, or do we think this is that West Brom team from like 2014 that just really fought and held on right till the end and pulled off a bunch of big upsets but ultimately went down? Are we thinking that's what they are, or do we think they really do have a chance of getting out of this?
I mean, they're definitely playing like they have a chance. And Luton are again playing like they're trying too hard, you know, in context, right? Luton look like they're playing in quicksand. They're fighting like hell, they're doing everything you think you're supposed to do.
But that makes you
sink faster. And that, you know what I mean? They're being too open. They're being too, and it's fun to watch, it's exciting, and I enjoy it. But ultimately, that could be what does them in. If they tried to be a bit more organized, especially against teams in the mid-table that haven't been particularly good, right? Think to Palace or some of those games that they lost or drew mid-year. If they were a bit more calculated in their approach rather than so gung-ho, you think that there's every chance that they could have accumulated enough points to stay up. But I like a team, you know, we've talked about Norwich in the past. We've talked about Sheffield last time they were relegated, where they just go down without a fight. And at least Luton are going down with the fight. It's fun to watch. Burnley are now, you know, they were getting tedious. Mm-hmm. They're now going down with the fight, and that's fun to watch.
Right.
But, you know, Sheffield United have put in, I mean, over the Gustavo Hammer's also, by the way, their best player and going to get himself a move, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Because that was a fantastic strike that was. But there's not many more on that team, I think, going to go anywhere. They don't make the grade, man.
I think Burton and Diaz is going to probably get picked up by somebody, even though he's on a loan from Valencia. He was such a big goal scorer at Blackburn in the Championship for a very long time. I have a feeling he's probably going to get a move into the Prem.
He'll probably be one of those affordable options for somebody like Leicester that's in trouble with money or something like that. Especially with Jamie Vardy being a bit older.
Yeah.
Although, did you see what happened with him?
We'll be talking about that on the FL show.
Yeah. Stick around for that show, because this is important, and being Jamie Vardy nuts as much as we are, and I know you all listening are as well, you're going to want to hear that story. It's pretty fucking dope.
The final game we're going to talk about, honestly, it's very simple to talk about the game itself because there wasn't a lot in it. It's more the surrounding circumstances that need to be discussed. But we can say this. They've done it now multiple years in a row. When the back's against the wall, Everton figures out a way, like they do, even when it's not pretty, but they figure out a way. And honestly, from a couple of unlikely sources, when's the last time you saw Idrissa Gueye hit something from 25 yards out?
Not recently.
Senegal. You would never see him do it with Everton.
And it was a proper daisy cutter as well.
Oh, it was a fucking
good goal. And then Dwight McNeil with a fantastic goal as well.
Mm-hmm, both of them. Jordan Pickford with a massive save. Off the goal line, big arms, get the arms wide.
I'm glad you transitioned to Jordan Pickford, because even though Idrissa Gueye probably deserved man of the match, just because... I've never seen him do that.
Oh yeah, and also newsflash: He hasn't been playing. You put him into the lineup, he made an immediate fucking difference.
Uh-huh.
Even at his age, Idrissa Gueye might be very good at what he fucking does, people.
And he provides what a fucking brilliant blanket for the back line.
He does a great job. I mean,
you walk out and pitch a shutout in the first game he's played, what, 12?
He's been in a few before that, but it has been a while.
Very sporadic, at least. But besides that, right? So Jordan Pickford was actually named man of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because via fan vote, legally, they couldn't put the VAR in.
Yeah, that's true. VAR should have probably been the man of the match. And we're going to get to that in a moment. Absolutely we are, because that's really the talking point. But for Everton, they did exactly what they needed to do. They needed to win in their building, yeah. And they won.
Even with it was with Asterix assistance.
Yeah, you don't hear me arguing you or take. I'm not minding you taking a piss because you're not wrong.
Well.
You're not wrong.
I've got split feelings on this. So why don't you lay the scene and then we'll discuss.
So we have to say there were three missed penalties and Nottingham Forest immediately, I mean within moments after the game, tweets out this. Three extremely poor decisions. Three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game and they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options. That was right after the match.
Yeah, so first feeling, nobody did that except Mariakis. That wacko. That's he's dictating to some social media peon in their social media department, tweet this out.
Oh, no doubt he
did. It's just him, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, the club are going to get fined, not him, because it's a generic statement that the club put out, even though we know all full well that he's the one that wrote it.
It was him.
So I've got mixed emotions about this.
Mm-hmm.
The referees are hired for a reason. There is a reason that people look up to England and expect England, the Premier League especially, but English football in general to kind of be the shining light is because the game is less corrupt and mostly safe. When you look at places like Italy and compare them to that. So calling in to question the integrity of an official and their biases is potentially problematic, obviously, especially when in his post-match press conference, both players for Nottingham Forest and Nuno Espirito Santo said, non-issue, that doesn't matter. That was something that somebody else brought up, but that means nothing to us.
Right.
And essentially, what the Premier League and Pugmul have already said was, that's a non-starter, don't bother. So everybody's got a job to do. Why you would risk your relatively cushy, £200,000 a year job to help your football club when it might not actually help your football club.
A draw would have helped your football club more.
So you want to talk about the real mistake was obviously the third one.
Yeah.
That's the one where it's clear cut. That is a fucking penalty.
Yeah. I would very much agree that the third one for me was a penalty. The first one I've seen called, but I've also seen it not called. I've seen it not called for Everton 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
Then the other thing would be the handball. I've seen that called.
I've seen it not called.
I've also seen it not called.
Right. And the third one is a nailed on pen. Probably a red card.
Third one was a pen.
Probably also a sending off.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'd be more worried about for Everton is all three incidents involved Ashley Young.
Oh, they all involved Ashley Young.
Get him off the fucking field, man.
Hopefully Seamus Coleman's healthy and we can go back to Seamus Coleman
then
at right back.
And he can cock the ball into the net again.
You would think he's old enough to know better.
Yeah,
100% you would.
One would think.
And did you see his post-match?
No, I did not.
He was asked by the reporter, Ashley, what do you think about those three decisions? Do you think they were penalty? He goes, weren't given, were they? Well, yeah, I know they weren't given, Ashley, but, could you just elaborate? What do you think about those? He was like, the referee didn't call them, so no, they weren't penalties, were they?
Yeah.
And he said it with this kind of tight-lipped, shit-eating grin. It looked like he was trying to hold bird shit in his mouth. Motherfucker.
Because he had famously had a bird shit in his mouth.
During a game for Manchester United.
Yes.
So how unlucky can you be? But yeah, not, so I tend to agree that I don't think him being a Luton fan, rightly or wrongly, affected the game in any way. Because with Everton, especially 2-0 up, when that third foul happens, a draw is what helps his team, and he did not provide them the opportunity to draw.
Yeah.
So, because both, you know, that puts one of you almost out of sight for Luton.
Right.
Which does not help if one of you all won. That means you're chasing only one team. And arguably, Forest, with some of their players, are a touch more consistent and better than y'all.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah.
In certain ways. I mean, defensively, I think you guys are better, obviously. But in terms of attacking options, I think they're better.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that point. I would agree.
So, you know, that being said, what really helps Luton is a draw. And he did not provide the situation in which that happened. So I tend to think he did his job to the best of his ability. Now, it might be a shit standard, don't get me wrong, but I think he did his job fairly and justly. It's just he sucks at it.
Couple that to Anthony Taylor.
if that makes sense to
Anthony
you.
Anthony Taylor did not call a particularly good game either.
No.
There is a reason why Beto got clocked the way he got clocked in the head. Is because Anthony Taylor was letting a lot of shit go.
Yeah.
He was letting way too much shit go. And I'm not saying that that was intentional the way that they went in and got him, but at the rate that they were playing at that point and the things that the ref was letting them get away with, that gives the player a little more impetus to go in a little harder because he ain't been calling it. So go ahead and crack him a little bit.
Exactly. And I do want to a lovely piece of shithousery will obviously come onto the game later in this broadcast. I just got very professional all of a sudden.
Listen to you.
But on the scale of Fulham to Millwall, usually Crystal Palace air towards the Fulham side, just near to midway, I'd say.
Right.
Right? They're not really shithouses. They're generally nice. I know Brad's the exception to that rule. He's all the way Millwall cunty. But the rest and vast majority of Palace supporters fall, I'd say, just a touch left of center. Okay. But their social media department chose violence.
Okay, what did they do?
Making fun of Nottingham Forest, they said after beating West Ham 5-2, they tweeted out, quote, five extremely good goals, two goals conceded, which we simply have to accept. Hashtag CPFC will now enjoy their Sunday. Fucking love it.
Fucking brutal.
Emotional damage.
Oh, damn it. I absolutely loved that.
All right, so final question to the segment. Who goes down?
Well, it's not going to be ever Luton, I'll tell you that. They're staying up. Obviously, I still believe Burnley and Sheffield are probably done. I think Burnley left it too late. To come on. I think Sheffield are done and dusted. Obviously, they have to win out and need results to go in their way, in their favor, rather. I think Burnley left it too late. There's just not, I don't think they're going to be able to come up with enough points. Is it going to be Luton? Is it going to be Forest? Forest, I think it's going to be tough because Forest are a better team.
Agreed.
Just in general. In general, they have a better manager that knows what he's doing. Oh, also, by the way, a couple hours after the final whistle, guess who was still at Goodison Park? Nuno Espirito Santo. Guess where he was pictured?
Where?
Just outside one of the, not emergency exits, but one of the players and staff exits. Just leant against the wall smoking a cigarette. Just like, I've fucking had enough of this. Can't be bothered with this shit. Which is absolutely brilliant. Just packed it in and just having a smoke.
Yeah. Too funny.
But in my heart of hearts, I would probably say that Forest stay up, sadly. Because I want Luton to stay up. I think they've been a joy to the league. I think they stayed true to who they were. I just don't think they have it within them to change their style. And I worry that that's going to end up ultimately being their downfall.
Yeah.
But they have every chance.
Right.
You know, they've got every chance. I thought Nuno made a couple of strange ones. Anthony Elanga, I thought, has played pretty well the last few games. He started Gio Reyna instead, who I think, once he's come in, has not particularly done much in the last few games. So I thought that was a bit weird. You know, Chris Wood's been doing well, obviously, you know, most of this second half of the season. Hudson Odoi, who won the penalty, has been playing well, but I don't think they went with their strongest 11. Morton Gibbs-White seemed off. I think Idrissa Degay did a fucking fantastic job shutting his creativity down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can target one or two of those pieces that make them tick, Forrester bang average.
Right.
But, you know, it's also hurt not having a Wonyi. When he did come back for that 2-3 game stretch, he scored once or twice, but ultimately didn't really affect things.
Yeah.
But the good news there
Adebayo's
is
also been a huge
Wood's
miss
been
for
scoring goals in his
place. Where when Adebayo's gone out, Luton haven't had much. There's no like real second option there.
Yeah, it's Morrison. That's it.
It's Morrison and Adebayo, and that's right. That's all.
Right.
And that's where I think
and
that
then
the,
you have to
the
you have
rails
rely
have
on
come
Barkley
off.
To pull off you know worldies, which he's capable of doing, but. You don't want to live on that as being your way of scoring goals.
No, absolutely, because a broken clock's right twice a day.
Right, precisely. Now, for me, I think Everton's done enough. I think that there's still points there for Everton to get, and I don't think it'll take many points to be safe. I think, like you, Forest is too good. I think Forest is too good of a team now, but we said that last year with Leicester, and we saw Leicester go down. For me, I think it's the three promoted teams are the three that are going down.
It is definitely a dangerous trope, right? The we're too big or too good to go down, insert adjective.
Yeah.
It's definitely a dangerous trope, but in general, I get better vibes off Forest than I do Luton.
Agreed.
In terms of their ability to pick up a result.
Also wonder, too, does what they did, do we see a cause and effect in calls in the next couple of games for them?
Could be. One of the funniest jokes I heard about this entire thing. There's two very funny jokes I've heard in the last 4 or 5 days. The first one was referencing this game. Somebody thought it'd be very funny if, because the club technically issued the statement, if the FA fined them or the Premier League fined them £10,000 or £10 million for such an egregious statement threatening a lawsuit and everything else, right? Which is essentially reading between the lines of that last sentence of that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Fining them millions of pounds because of their, you know, kind of breach of conduct, and then that being the reason that they lose financial fair play standing this season
and go down, that would be kind of funny.
And then 5 minutes after the final whistle, they hold the tribunal to dock them more points to send them down. That's very funny. And then the other one was surrounding the Europa League in Liverpool. And they said, because, which obviously we'll come on to talking in the next segment a bit more in detail, but Alisson was heavily involved in Liverpool keeping possession in that game on Thursday. And someone said, yeah, you know, this game was just like the conversation I had with my next door neighbor, you know, who doesn't hang bathroom blinds up. And I said to him, Jim, why don't you hang your bathroom blinds up? Because, you know, over the last 2 days, I've seen too much of Allison.
Too funny.
Stupid.
Only two of the three clubs battling for the title were in action, but both did what they needed to, which was win. Arsenal 2, Wolves 0, Liverpool 3, Fulham 1. Gunners get it done. It wasn't pretty. They're starting to have a hard time scoring goals, but they won.
No, so collectively, and I'm going to lump in the City-Chelsea FA Cup game into this because of the context of the week, right? Where, well, 2 weeks. Obviously, both or all three, City, Arsenal, and Liverpool got knocked out of Europe at the exact same stage, at the exact same time, within 24 hours of each other. So with in the context of the title race, what you wanted to see was a response, right? City made Chelsea look like they've actually been playing together for 10 months in the FA Cup, which was the first time they've done that,
right,
even though they've been playing together for 10 months. But Arsenal and Liverpool, you know, as you talk about the three of them collectively, all of them look quite jaded. Look like there's been a lot of miles on the legs. And this midweek, obviously City probably being the most emotional of the exit, look like it really affected them mentally.
Yeah.
All three teams.
Yeah, don't disagree. Not at all.
Now, ultimately, again, they all three got over the line in their respective fixtures, but it was not pretty.
No, for none of them. None of them were pretty.
And now I do have to apologize to the our sister pod, one of our sister pods, the Whole Lot of Wolves, one of our friends, Paul. I was on the show previewing the game, obviously, for them as they do an opposition preview. And, you know, I said it seems like, you know, it may just be bias, but it seems like teams always tend to get healthy right before they play Arsenal, right? Everybody comes back.
Wrong.
Yep, apparently. Because everyone except Neto that was injured played last weekend.
Yeah.
So I was like, here, of course. And Cunha gets two goals. Great. Fuck. Yep. And then he texted me on Friday and was like, looks like you got it wrong. Our injury bug's back.
Yep.
And I said, what do you mean? I had a tough week in training. Like, I didn't see any reports. And he said, honestly, he thought it was their sports science department saying you can't push these players too much or you're going to lose them for the rest of the season.
Got it.
And that makes sense because those absolute nerds get involved way too often.
But they did have Wang.
They did have Wang.
They did have Wang.
And Wang did not penetrate.
No, Wang did not penetrate.
Successfully cock-blocked.
You guys were pounding them at the start of the game. It just was not going in.
No, it was not going in. But David Raya was necessary. Mm-hmm. And what I worry about is this obviously was not a full-strength Wolves team.
Mm-hmm.
Aiton Nuri did come in late in the game. I think 75, 78 minutes, something like that, for a brief cameo. And within the first 2 minutes of coming on the pitch, created a chance that David Raya needed to be keen to. And he was, thank goodness, you know, after there's been a fair few mistakes this year. But he absolutely stepped up when he needed to. And then Odegaard obviously gets the goal in stoppage time to seal the deal, but we shouldn't have left it that late. It shouldn't have been teetering on that knife's edge.
Right.
You know, you can, again, say the same for Liverpool, for City even, in those things. It all pretty much followed the exact same blueprint, really.
Really, there's not much else to say for the Arsenal match other than you guys are now on top mm-hmm. of the table, but City does have a game in hand. So let's move right into Liverpool. The Reds ultimately end up winning, but at one point they were level at 1-1, and Fulham was giving them everything they got. That was for darn sure. And like you said, they looked a little sluggish.
Yeah, absolutely they did. Fulham had loads of chances. Allison was big mm-hmm. in this game. He a couple of good saves. There's a few, actually, you know, Andy Robertson, I think, had a couple tracking back that he was able to stop crosses going in or, you know, poke stuff out for throw-ins kind of in a last-ditch tackle that stopped Fulham on the counter where they were in a pretty dangerous position.
Yeah,
to be completely honest. Fulham did not take a few of those early chances that they had, though. And, of course, Trent Alexander-Arnold
mm-hmm.
got a tournament coming up.
Yep.
What do? You don't need James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah.
You need me.
You need me. I'll take those.
Do more than he can do, including what he does. Just check out this free kick, Gareth.
Yeah,
it was.
The only difference is James Ward-Prowse can defend, and Trent Alexander-Arnold is an actual, quote, defender.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Trent Alexander-Arnold is more of fleet-footed, where he's a bit faster.
Yeah, oh, great.
And could definitely play in the midfield.
Yep.
And can rake passes the same way
yep.
James Ward-Prowse can, which is unfortunate for JWP.
Yeah, don't disagree.
Because, you know, I think he'd be kind of nailed on for England if it wasn't mm-hmm. for the versatility in some of those midfielders and defenders.
Yeah, I agree. Klopp rotated the lineup a little bit, but the other key...
I don't think it was a rotation.
Yeah?
I think it was a you fuckers let me down.
Mm, okay. Yep. So sending the message, kind mm-hmm. of like how Dyche mm-hmm. benched Garner and Onana for Gomez and Idrissa Gueye.
That's what I think.
Just flat out said, that's it. I'm fucking changing it.
Because that was a very Carlo midfield, Idrissa Gueye and old pretty boy.
Yeah, it was. Definitely. Definitely was. Now, here's the key thing, though, is all three are out of Europe. So now all three teams have won, and City is now on to the final of the FA Cup, which we'll get on to the next segment. They got one thing to focus on now. All of them, all they got to worry about is the title.
Mm-hmm. Got some difficult games. So do we. So does Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to come down to who shakes off this sluggishness first.
Yeah,
that's
agree.
What it's going to be. I mean, does our potential for, you know, because we have a training game against Chelsea on Tuesday. easy. Just guaranteed 3 points at home, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does our four-point lead at the top of the table start to wear on their minds?
Yeah.
City, do they get nervous going to Tottenham?
Well, they go to Brighton first.
They go to Brighton first on Thursday, but then, you know, obviously in the next week
and
or two, they've got Tottenham. At Tottenham, where in the league they still haven't scored a goal.
Yeah.
So does that start to weigh on their minds? Do they slip up in the next couple of games? It's entirely possible based on that FA Cup performance, like I said. But that same vein, we have to play United. We still have to play Tottenham as well. And we do have Chelsea, who looked better against City.
Yeah.
While at the same time, all three of us, Liverpool still has to play Tottenham as well, where all three of us look sluggish. So it's really going to be who drops first. Now, he's been doing this kind of tour over the last year. I did want to make mention, I don't know if you saw the cottage, Fulham v. Liverpool. I don't know if you saw the cottage in the corner. Who was there?
Mm-mm.
Jose motherfucker Mourinho.
Of course
just
he was.
Just making himself known.
Just, hey, I'm
everybody
here.
Goes inside for a bite to eat at halftime. Guess who sat on the balcony all by himself?
Like we say in Portugal, bread is bread and cheese is cheese.
And I ain't fucking hungry, bitches. Cameras, look at me, because I'm coming for Klopp's job.
You know, so they're all out of Europe. So is West Ham. The only team left in Europe from England is the one that fucks.
Hit it on a sex tourism tour.
Rounding out the rest of the league in the FA Cup in, oh, so that happened. Aston Villa 3, Bournemouth 1, Crystal Palace 5, West Ham 2, Man City 1, Chelsea 0, Man United 3, Coventry 3, 4-2, Manchester United advances on penalties.
Fucking travesty, that shouldn't be.
Solanke scores again on a very obvious penalty, but Villa was just too much.
Yeah. Villa got their heads out of their asses because old Cash made a rash decision, if you know what I'm saying. And I hope he doesn't have one between his legs, Mel. A rash, that is. Considering, I heard also, they changed the venue for the final because it's Villa potentially going to be in it of the McRib trophy. Did you hear this?
Where'd they change it to?
Bangkok.
Yeah, they did.
Gotta make sure.
Sex tourism, Well, I think it's great that they're working on commemorative condoms.
You know, didn't some weird company come out with commemorative condoms for when the king was coronated?
Coronated, yes. I don't remember.
I'm waiting for the punchline.
That's it.
Oh.
Honestly, very simple for
you. I mean, when you lay down, you're supposed to think of God and country, right?
So, very simple. Villa did exactly what they needed to do, which was get the win, get further ahead of Tottenham, put the stress on Tottenham. I don't think Tottenham's going to find a way to. I think they're going to affect one, maybe two of those three top three teams that they play. But in all likelihood, they're going to lose to definitely one of them,
probably
if not
two of them. Yeah.
And
the other piece to that is Villa have a much easier schedule than Tottenham do for the final few games. Like you said, I mean, you can roll through one of us
Tottenham's
or two
not
of
us. Catch
us.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
You could roll through one of us. You could roll through two of us. But the chances in 4 weeks of beating all three of the top three teams is slim to fucking none. Mm-hmm.
And if they beat all three, they still need Villa to lose matches.
Villa ain't going to lose matches. Exactly. No. Because they have an easier schedule because of shit like this.
The only one Villa, I really see Villa losing, and I think that it's more on their side than it is on Liverpool's side, is when Liverpool comes to Villa Park.
Yeah.
That's really the only one I could see them losing.
Now, I think Villa, Ollie Watkins, you know, kind of...
What are you guys going to do when we beat them, too? Like,
Thank you, because that helps us.
City, beat them. Arsenal, beat them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that. Keep going.
Okay.
I know, Bishore Billy, Newcastle,
The look. Graham just throwing down.
I was about to pay a compliment, and that's what I get.
Every time I make a comment, I get Shore Billy reminding me about the Newcastle thump.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going.
They live in the past. What I was going to say was Ollie Watkins did his best in Buemo impersonation. Mm-hmm. Since he couldn't put it in himself, just became fucking Provider. And what a pair of fucking crosses that was.
Mm-hmm.
That slid through ball to Diaby was the first one. It was fucking brilliant. And then he'll tell you it was on purpose, the cross to Bailey. Sure. I think he scuffed a shot, personally. But either way, pass. Ends up with two tap-ins.
Yep.
I mean, what fantastic balls those were to put his team in and win the fucking game.
Watkins is at 30 goals for the season.
Yeah, in all competitions.
Oh, yeah.
He's only taken one penalty kick this whole season against Lille.
Yeah, Douglas Luiz is the penalty taker for the team.
Watkins isn't good at it. We were all nervous when we saw him get up there to take him.
More like lol. Well,
are we talking about that on the next show, or can we talk about how Emilio...
Estevez?
Yeah. Amy Martinez got the yellow card for breaking the Amy Martinez rule.
Yeah, he did. He got the yellow card for breaking the Amy Martinez rule. And now has to sit out the first leg of the semi because he got three yellow cards in two games.
For doing this.
Yeah, I want to talk about penalty kick antics all collectively after we finish the FA Cup chat.
Very good. Continuing on, Palace go up 4-0 within 30 minutes on West Ham.
Couple of quite comical own goals here, too.
Yeah,
Which were quite good. But obviously, it was quite quick. Olise on 7 minutes, Eze on 16. The own goal from Emerson, obviously, on 20.
And then Mateta.
And then Mateta on 31 got his first of a brace. Now, Dean Henderson doubled West Ham's comeback, after Antonio had scored just before halftime. But other than Antonio's goal, which was kind of just the way Antonio operates, it's just like things are chaotic and I'm going to finish this, you know, because I'm a battering ram and that's what I do.
Right.
West Ham didn't really challenge at all, and they had their full complement of attacking players minus Jared Bowen. I mean, Kudus didn't have a shot, let alone one on target. Paqueta looked a shadow of himself. James Ward-Prowse looked like he was getting beat up in midfield.
Yeah,
and Antonio had absolutely no service. I mean, your front four were absolute trash.
Yeah,
and that's, you're just not going to win a football match that way. It's just not going to happen.
Moving on to the FA Cup, and I want to keep this very brief. Please.
Announced officially, as far as I'm aware, and Smokey, if he's on, can verify. On the back of this result, it has been decided that David Moyes will part ways with West Ham at the end of the season.
Okay. Yeah.
Is what I heard.
All right. Good. Now, going on to the FA Cup, let's keep this really short and sweet because honestly.
The one game was shit, which we've already really talked about.
Oh, and the second game was really good at the end. You know, it was like...
Because, it was United cruising, right?
And then they fell apart.
But, and then they fell apart, which is hysterical.
The one thing that I do want to mention just from the Chelsea match is that Pep was bitching and moaning, doing what we like to call his best Klopp, about the...
the timing of the games,
about
right?
the timing of the games and when they were played and what a massive schedule they have. I would like it to be noted... How many games has City played this year? 52. How many games has Coventry City played this year? 53. Shut the fuck up, Pep. Shut. And you have enough players to field three whole fucking sides.
But the other piece to that is you're in the Champions League. So you've played either Tuesday or Wednesday and Saturday all season.
Yeah.
All fucking season.
He that wanted to have a piss normal... because it was United playing on Sunday. That's the only reason he said it.
Neither United nor Coventry had a midweek game.
Yeah. He just wanted to have a piss.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Which is just ridiculous because he played a normal schedule.
Yeah. And
he played with the same schedule he's been playing since the group stages of the Champions League in September. And it's fucking, it's tiresome, it's cumbersome, and it's fucking annoying. Yeah. And he's a bald fraud.
Pep, you're better than that. And also, because I guarantee you, he had no clue Coventry had played one more game than them.
And you won the fucking game. Shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah, that's it. United were cruising till the 70th minute. And then the wheels fell off the bus.
I mean, if this isn't an advert for every neutral non-Manchester United fan or rival to Manchester United fan... We got to start a petition to keep Ten Hag in place. I mean, he has to keep managing this team because this is fucking brilliant. You can't take your eyes off him one way or the other.
You're right.
They're either, you know, great for a whole 17 minutes in a game, or they're dog shit from the start and get beat at Brentford 5-1. I love everything about both of those situations because inevitably the wheels come off. It's just when in the journey does it. Right. And I love everything about it.
The Coventry ultimately ties it. They go to extra time. I don't think he was offsides.
The one assessment I heard was that the lines were so close together, they weren't red and blue, they were purple.
Then, if it's not clear and obvious, call on the field stands.
The truest thing that I saw said was a meme posted by, I think it's called The Football Community is the Facebook page, but they put it up, and it's just the screenshot of the lines, and it says, "This isn't what football's about."
No, it's not. It's not.
And it really they're absolutely isn't. Right.
And unfortunately, Coventry fall to penalties at Wembley for the second year in a row.
It's tough. Obviously, you're going to get the pressurized situation, which we've seen a couple of times this week. And this is kind of why I wanted to lump all the penalty shootouts together that happened. Because you had Casemiro and Bernardo Silva both attempting two of the worst panenkas I've ever seen in my life. They were absolutely pitiful.
The Real Madrid keeper, the fucking cojones to go. He puts it down the middle. I'm not moving. Because the Coventry City keeper like moved a little and then kind of whacked it away. Like, the Madrid keeper
stood still,
knew he was going, and stood right there and went, boop.
And just caught it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that
it's
is...
It's like embarrassing.
You're only going to pull that off once as a keeper, because ain't nobody going to try to kick it down the middle on you ever again.
No.
So you only get to do it once, but you want to talk
about... But it's a boss move. It's setting your dick right on the table.
I mean, that is 100%. Right after that. He should have pulled it out and just shown it and just looked right... Bernardo Silva right in the eyes and going...
Yeah, but that's why Emmy got that other yellow card. And, so it's not a great idea.
The dancing backwards away from everybody.
Yeah, so... So that's the other thing. He turned around at the end of a hard-fought game, Emmy. at the end of a hard-fought game where they're advancing and moving on and everything's fine. Don't worry about it. You don't have to stick the boot in and get yourself another card. You don't have to do any of these things. Decides to shush the French fans in Lille, which immediately starts essentially a riot. Where things are being thrown at him.
Yeah, one of their shooters kicks the ball into the stands.
Yeah.
Shh.
So did one of Coventry.
Okay, that's now a thing.
In another one of the...
We don't talk about sex club.
In another one of the worst... it's the first rule of sex club. And one of the worst penalties I've seen taken by anybody also. Didn't slip, didn't do anything. That fourth Coventry taker that just skied it into Rose Ed.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Yeah.
Just absolutely completely lost his nerve, which is sad. Obviously, I do like also the final thought is Rasmus Højlund scoring the winning penalty, running, celebrating vigorously in front of the United fans. And the only person that came to congratulate him was a very slow paced walking Christian Eriksen.
Yeah.
Everybody else just kind of turned to the Coventry players and went, sorry, guys.
Shook their hands.
We don't deserve that.
Yeah. And now we get the. The final none of us won.
Yeah, and the funniest thing I heard said about this was after this absolute robbery, somebody that I listened to said that it was going to the final is essentially Manchester United getting called into the principal's office, having to explain why they were there, and then receiving their punishment for it.
Manchester United, Charbelli says, is NASCAR without the lull between wrecks.
Without the what?
Without the lull between wrecks.
I don't know what that means.
The calm.
Lull.
Lull.
Oh, the lull between wrecks?
Wrecks.
Oh, between accidents.
Yeah, yes.
Got it.
Do you?
Manchester United, I think, if they were NASCAR, would probably try to turn right at some point.
Sure money.
Yeah, I know how yours went.
Yeah, I lost.
Uh-huh.
I went big.
Uh-huh.
Then fucking uh-huh. Fuck it.
Yep. We
not good gambling.
I don't care anymore.
But anybody that bet on Villa made money, right?
I bet on Villa.
Who didn't bet on Villa?
Mm-hmm. We don't get anything from Pat today, unfortunately.
I made a lot of real money this weekend.
Okay, well, you know, didn't make any money here.
No, I did not.
Ready to hear how I did?
Yeah, I do want to hear how you did. Probably won.
Back on the board with a win, baby.
Yep,
and I am down now only $278.
Big Sam's Lock of the Week.
Did you know that 26.470588% of the time?
That's got to be close to the shirt.
It works 100% of the time.
What's the shirt, 27.9?
27.9% of the time works 100% of the time.
That's very close to the shirt.
The shirt will come back.
If I hit the number.
When you hit that number, the shirt will come back.
Are we giving him a grace of like between 0.3? It's very hard to make that percentage.
I think the number.
It has to be the number.
I think it's got to be the number. We got enough shirts already. I'm doing it again. Another two gamer. Give me Newcastle to beat Palace and Man U to beat Sheffield at +206.
Okay. Nice.
What are you doing there, stud?
All right. I'm now down $1,947, which is obviously because...
Big Grabs, loss of the week. That should be... Hold on, it needs to go down. Click, click.
Fuck
Big Grabs, loss of the week.
That should be the spinning of a revolver.
Click.
Little Sam's loss of the week. This, however, is considerably less than I was down last year, so mm-hmm. I'm not terribly worried about it because I did do a lot better this year, if you can believe
not
it.
Good gambling.
So no. I have a lot of shit going on here to erase most of this debt right away.
Our nine-way parlay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It actually is 9.
Nine-way parlay.
It is 9.
Yes!
It's absolutely 9.
Oh, my God. We hit the nine-way parlay. That shirt goes on sale at midnight.
Grammy folding.
No. Grammy raising. So here we go. Arsenal to beat Chelsea with over 1.5 goals in the game. Saka and Palmer to each have one shot on target or more. Over 7.5 corners in that game.
Mm-hmm.
That is parlayed. That parlay is then parlayed with United to beat Sheffield United. Everton and Liverpool to have over 1.5 goals. Don't care about the result. Just two or more goals scored in the game.
Fair enough.
And the same thing for the final two. Brighton and City to be over 2.5. Palace and Newcastle over 2.5. If all of that comes in, that pays me $1,370 on my $100 bet.
Get it the fuck together, Sam.
I'm hoping this is me doing that. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's not going to go well. You know who it does go well for?
You don't know that.
The chicken.
Well, Kitty Fox with Villa, and she sits at 18-14. So for the midweek, I gave Kitty the Merseyside Derby.
Uh-oh.
Now, Kitty pulled out her iPhone and shared with me a text exchange with her and Liverpool gaffer Jürgen Klopp.
No shit.
Screenshots. Apparently, Kitty is consulting Jürgen on life after Liverpool, and we know that Kitty... Well, she's a smart chicken, so she never picks Everton. So
no,
sorry, guy. Kitty's picking the Reds to win.
Fuck you, Kitty.
Got fingertips on it.
And with that, if you don't gamble legally and responsibly, you won't have all five fingers to keep on it. I need a button to press after this. Like, I don't like... That's too early for this one.
You're good. Don't
nope,
worry about it.
I can't do it. I feel like I need something to end the segment.
No, because last season, all she did was bitch about how she had to pull it down, pull it up, hit the buttons, and now this year she's like, I don't have a button to hit. That's going to wrap it up, boys and girls. Mr. Graham, any parting words?
I don't know, man. I'm confused about the button thing because you do bitch a lot about having to push buttons and pretty much started soundcheck wanting an intern.
Yeah.
So... And now you want more work to do. I don't understand.
I want an intern. I do. We are taking applications for internships.
We also drug test because we're hypocrites.
Yeah.
And it definitely is also an unpaid position.
And it's a drinking free location for interns.
We're actually only taking interns under 21 years of age.
Heard. All right, Mr. Graham, parting
words.
But
that are really go-getters.
Teen doesn't count.
I don't have anything. I got nothing. Perfect. Get ready for the run-in.
Perfect.
It's going to be fun.
I do.
Okay.
Fuck you, FA. And fuck you, big clubs, namely the Premier League, for completely cheapening and fucking over the lower leagues and the FA Cup. Fuck all of you. Fuck all of you to the fucking umpteenth degree. It is absolute bullshit. Replays are a part of the fucking tournament.
Apparently, the FA didn't even consult the lower league clubs at all.
The lower leagues are looking to sue, and I don't blame them, and I agree with them.
They should boycott. Honestly, they should boycott the tournament.
Because the way this tournament goes every year is you hear the big clubs bitch and moan and cry and whine and complain, and at the semifinals every year, three of the fucking big six are there. Shut the fuck up. Stop fucking crying. If you're worried about your workload, oh, by the way, Pep, your workload, the other team in the semifinal has played more games than you, so shut the fuck up. Oh, by the way, those games, they don't get extra money for. Your games, you get millions for being in European competitions. You get TV deals for the Carabao Cup and the fucking FA Cup. You get more money than they do. Fuck you. Play your kids the whole tournament. Not we'll play our kids in the first couple of rounds, and then when we got a chance to win, then we'll play everybody. If that's what you think of it, play your kids the whole fucking time. Let your kids play start to fucking finish.
And the other thing, if you don't want to replay, win the fucking game the first time.
Exactly.
You're a big enough club to do it. Do it.
You go to their building, and you can't beat them. You deserve to play another fucking game.
Yeah.
Do your fucking job.
Yeah, it's disconcerting. The fact that the EFL clubs weren't even brought in the conversation as well is disconcerting from the FA. That, you know, back to, you know, even the Forest situation with the Luton fan being being the VAR.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not a problem, you're not doing yourself any favors. The optics aren't good. And, excuse me, largely, especially from the governing body's perspective, it's a PR exercise for a lot of these things. So not even, you know, addressing the fact that a Luton person is the VAR, and then also not even addressing the lower leagues in this discussion nor decision.
Yeah.
It's just bad optics all the way around, and everybody's fucking mad at you.
Yeah. Then big clubs,
it's not a good look, man. You're giving people shit to talk about. You're giving a reason for people to be pissed off at you.
If you're going to their building, you pay them money. If they're playing in your building, you give them money. And what they now get money no matter what.
And now what do we say? What do we always say, right? When a player does something stupid, like even if it's not a penalty, right? You gave the referee a decision to make.
Right.
And that's what you don't want. And the FA and Pugmo in these two instances that we've talked about tonight, one during the show, obviously, and one here in closing, you're giving the public a decision to make.
Yep.
You're giving the EFL clubs a decision to make. And what you're doing just raises questions and brings into question the integrity of the game, brings in to question the integrity of your ability to run it. And is that really what you want? I don't think so.
One final thought here as I go to wrap up everything. Let us not forget, Premier League and the before top flight, this tournament was here before you were.
Yep.
This tournament is
the oldest knockout competition in the world for football.
This tournament was here before any of you. This tournament existed before the formation of the league, before the first 12 teams. This was here first. Fuck you, Prem. Seriously, fuck you.
It's the FA that makes the decision. It was the Premier League clubs, I'm sure, that were consulted about it. but it's the FAA that ultimately makes a decision. Technically, the only reason that the Premier League clubs were consulted was because they play in England, because the Premier League is its own entity outside of the FA.
Yep.
So the FA consulted, it didn't even consult member clubs.
It consulted just the Premier League. Yeah.
Just the Premier League.
Yeah.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
Just don't be a cunt. It's that simple. Just don't be a cunt. You're a bunch of fucking cunts. Thank you very much for joining us. Next up is DU Does EFL, which there is a lot.
There's some things
to talk about there
in the lower leagues.
Whole bunch to talk about. So that you can stick around on the live stream and watch. And also after that will be injury time, where we're going to preview the midweek action. That's right, everybody. You're getting multiple shows this week. We're going to give you a midweek and a weekend action as well.
Have to.
So, should somebody want to find injuries time, Mr. Graham, how they go about doing it?
It's very simple, actually. It's patreon.com/dfootball. So just sign up to that $1 $5 tier. You get all the extra content. As Sam said, that sound check, our actual sound check. Sometimes I'm a part of it, sometimes I'm not. and sometimes I just come in at the end for about 3 minutes and make killer fucking jokes.
Well, and then you know the what? Did we check your mic? Did we check your sound? Job accomplished.
Check mark.
Yeah. I'm like, can I see you? Can they hear you?
Done.
We're fine.
Not a problem.
Let's go get them.
Yeah, sometimes there's decomposing bird heads. It all, you know, it just all depends. Then injury time, which is our preview show, as Sam just said. So check it out. Sometimes you might get a video. Sometimes you won't get a video, depending on what we have going on, which has been very fucking busy.
Sometimes you get a really long video.
It's coming.
Sometimes there's guests in the back eating popcorn.
Yeah, it's coming. We got to make it happen.
Yeah, now you need to come up with a better idea, because we've had good ideas that have come and gone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just expecting you guys are putting it off because you have a really terrific idea and just haven't told me. I can't wait to be surprised. Yeah,
just dance, monkey, dance. Make me write something good again. I got you. Till next week, everybody.
You think you write good stuff?
I do.
Good night.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland. Bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye. Sam Houston.
Sam Houston.
Arsenal fans have another Sam. Right, AA, the fucking Gooner Graham. Smells of a lord. Looks great in shorts. Sam Graham.
Sam Graham.
Brooklyn United! Brooklyn United! It's a fucking new button!